Thank you, Chad. If you have your Bibles, if you'll take them and turn to Acts chapter 3, we're going to look at just a few different scriptures from the chapters 3 and 4 of the book of Acts. I want to take this opportunity to thank Dr. Hawley and Sam and you as a church for allowing me the opportunity to be with you today in the absence of your pastor. I don't know about you, but I think all of us, if I were to take a poll in here, would you agree with me today? Our world looks like it's out of control. And it's gotten to where the news is just not good. I mean, I went through a period a few weeks ago. I told my wife, I said, I just turned the news off. I might need to go back to advice I offered my mother years ago when I would call her each night and she would fret over everything that's happening. I said, Mama, just turn on an old movie channel and watch John Wayne, you know? But I did. I turned the news off and went like 2 weeks without the news. Now, I would get snippets here and there, but I want to tell you what, it just sometimes, it seems just overwhelming. And we think, what difference can I make? And we say, you know, God, it's just me. How in the world am I going to change my world? How in the world am I going to make a difference? And I really believe that if we were listening to what God says to us, I think He would tell us, well, why do you think I gave you a commission to go? And why do you think I gave you talents and abilities that I've gifted you with? They're not for you just to sit on, they're for you to use. And why do I give you opportunities every day to make a difference in somebody's life or the world you live in? And so I guess I'd ask all of us a question this morning, as I asked myself. Did you wake up this morning intending to change your world? You see, whether we realize it or not, we change our world every day that God gives us life and breath. Even small acts of kindness can have eternal consequences. The question then is not if we make a difference in our world, but what kind of difference are we making? And believe me, there are a lot of people in our world today who are trying to make a difference, and it's not for God. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that we're to be salt, that we're to be light. And as we look at that, salt impacts its surroundings by seasoning that which it touches. And light has an immediate impact on the world as it changes its surroundings. I want us briefly this morning, we don't have time to dig very deep, but these are two of my favorite chapters in all of God's Word as we look at the birth of the church in Acts and the calling out of to go into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And we look at the lives of Peter and John. And the unique thing about Peter and John were they were just ordinary men. They were fishermen. And we read in God's Word where the Bible even says, and we don't need to take this personal, that they were uneducated and untrained. It just means they didn't have a lot of influence, and maybe in the spiritual sense they had not been or had the schooling that some of the other religious leaders had. But I believe that the key verse to our entire passage this morning is found in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. And we'll start there, and then we'll go back and lay the foundation for what led to this verse. And when they observed the confidence of Peter and John, they understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, but they were marveling, and they began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. The first thing you and I need to understand this morning is if we are going to change our world for Jesus, then we ourselves first have to be changed. That means that you and I must experience that saving grace, that love that Jesus wants to pour out upon us by making Him our Lord and our Savior. We can never have a lasting change on our world for Jesus Christ if we've never met Him ourselves. For these two, Peter and John, it started just like an ordinary day. You ever have ordinary days? You might say it seems like most of them are ordinary. It started as just an ordinary day as they were on the way to the temple. And as they were on the way to the temple, we'll pick up the story in Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. They were going up to the temple about the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a certain man who had been lame from his mother's birth, was being carried along, and they used to sit him down every day at the gate of the temple, beautiful, in order that he might beg from those that were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. And Peter, along with John, fixed their gaze upon him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I tell you," and we've sung about it all morning, "in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk, you're healed." And seizing him by the right hand, they raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened, and he began to leap, and he stood upright, and he began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Scripture tells us the man thought that they were going to give him money. They didn't have any. Do you know what they could have done that day? It's what a lot of people do every day when they're given an opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ. Talking about myself as well. They had something to do. They had somewhere to be. They were busy. They could have walked on by that day, that man, and acted like he wasn't even there. He had been there every day. He had probably become kind of a fixture where people did not even see him anymore, the need that he had in his life. But for Peter and John that day, they couldn't do that. And you know why they couldn't do it? It goes back to 4:13. They had been with Jesus. They had seen Jesus as he had ministered to people of their physical needs, of their emotional needs. They had seen Jesus as he had touched the sick and healed. And they had seen Jesus as he had raised the dead. And because Jesus had so lived it out in front of them, they could not pass someone in need because they had Jesus in their hearts and lives, and they too wanted to make a difference in their world. After they entered the temple, can you imagine what happened that day in the temple? It was no ordinary day. Peter was given the opportunity to preach. I wish you would take time sometime today or this week to read his entire message right here. What a powerful message as he lays it all out piece by piece of who Jesus is and why he's here and what they're doing. But God's word tells us that the message was so powerful as he began to preach it that those who heard numbered 5,000. In verse 16, we read of that chapter, "And on the basis of faith," here it is again, "in his name," it is in the name of Jesus, "which is strengthened, and his faith that comes to him, that has been given him the perfect health in the presence of all of you." In verses we looked a moment ago of the healing, Peter responds by sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The Jewish leaders, the Bible tells us here, don't know how to respond. They honestly don't know what to say. They scold them. They threaten them. They tell them to quit preaching. They tell them to quit teaching. To which Peter responds, "We cannot stop speaking what we've seen and what we've heard." I love it in chapter 4 as they are brought before this Sanhedrin, which would be like a high court in our land, the very ones who have been instrumental in seeing that Jesus was crucified. And as they come into the presence of this high court, as Peter stands there, it tells us in verse 8 of chapter 4, being filled with the Spirit, he goes on to say, "If we are being put on trial today for a benefit done to this sick man, how he was made well, let it be known to all of you and the people of Israel," and here it is again, "by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health." What led him to have such courage, such power, to stand in the face of opposition, to stand in front of this group, a group that could literally take his life? I believe it was because Peter and John here in this instance were sold out to Jesus. Totally committed. It was Jesus and no one else. Nothing else in the world mattered as much as Jesus Christ. And because they had been with Jesus, they were committed to making a difference in their world. They were committed to teaching and preaching the name of Jesus. Not only for them, but all the disciples. Wouldn't life have been a lot easier if they had chosen another route? When you stop and think about what the followers of Jesus Christ endured, of the torment and the torture and all the hardships and the persecution and the imprisonment, they could have lived nice, quiet lives. I mean, does it get any better than fishing? They could have been fishermen and lived nice, quiet lives. And yet, because they had been with Jesus, their lives were turned upside down. And it would be said about them, here come the men that want to turn our world upside down. You know what? I believe it's time that we as Christians turn our world upside down. There are a lot of other people that are trying to turn it upside down that aren't Christian. But it's time that we as Christians make a difference. I go back to that 13th verse of chapter 4. Because there's so much there for us to understand. They didn't have a lot of influence. They didn't have power. They didn't have religious or political position. They had every excuse for why they couldn't do it. But I tell you, they could do it because they were men that walked by faith and not by sight. And for them and for us to live by faith means that we stay close to the one who empowers our lives. I think the church today in America in many instances is weak because we try to do it in our power and not His power. We can't do it, folks. We can't make a difference. But He can through us. As we walk this walk, as we live this life of faith, God's going to give us the power that is necessary for us to change our world. If you go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. But we don't need to leave out the most important part of that verse. When the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you, then you shall be my witnesses. You know, it's okay to be ordinary. Do you agree with me? It's okay to be ordinary. You know why? Because we serve an extraordinary God. And we serve a God who can take the ordinary and do something extraordinary. How can someone tell if we have been with Jesus? It says right here, they recognize Him as having been with Jesus. I think of a key verse in God's Word. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if what? If you, what? Love one another. You know what our world desperately needs? You know what the church needs today? It needs us to love one another. You know what our world needs today? Our world needs to experience the love that can come only from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Love one another. When people look at us, what do they see? I'm talking to us individually. I'm talking to myself. What do they see? Do they see a half-hearted Christian sometimes? Do they see someone that's so discouraged that they want to quit? Do they see somebody that's on fire for God? Peter and John's lives had been transformed. These two men who were once just fishermen are now spokesmen for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. chapter 4 goes on to say, they finally, like I said, they don't really know what to do with them, so scolding them, they tell them, don't preach this, don't teach this anymore, and we're just going to let you go. They didn't want a riot on their hands. And the remainder of chapter 4, beginning in verse 19, before they're let go, Peter says, we can't stop speaking what we've heard. And after he lets them, they let them go, over at the end of the chapter in verses 29 and following, it says they pray. That's a good thing to do. And you know what they do? They pray for boldness and courage and confidence to do more of what got them in trouble. To continue to speak and preach the name of Jesus Christ. I was never very good at math. Some of y'all taught me. We won't go there. Wasn't very good in English either. But do you know that every day, and I realize we have to sleep some, every day that we have 1,440 minutes to make a difference in our world. 1,440 minutes. My question is, are we going to live isolated? Are we going to live in such fear? Are we going to look at the world that's so rapidly changing around us and say, there's nothing that I can do? It's just little old me. Are we going to water down the gospel or change the message or lose heart for the harvest? The question that all of us should ask ourselves today is, how are we going to live? Every day you and I have opportunities to reach out to others to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ. Every day, God gives us interactions with people. Sometimes those interactions are just momentary. And they seem so unmemorable. But you and I need to understand that even a short, fleeting contact, just a brief encounter with somebody, can have eternal consequences. They are our family members, our friends, our work colleagues, people at the ballpark, the checker at the grocery store, the aide in the nursing home, the nurse in the hospital, and the list goes on and on. This passage helps us to understand that we don't have to be extraordinary to do extraordinary things, and we don't need to be discouraged. You know what we need to do? We just need to start. You know, and you say, well, what do you mean by that? I think it's time we take inventory of our lives and say, am I making a difference in my world? And is that difference pointing people toward Jesus? When people look at me, do they see that I have been with Jesus? I love the story that that Joe Stovall tells in one of his books. He had just finished his morning run. Now, some of this doesn't add up, but follow me here. He had just finished his morning run, and he goes into the Starbucks on his way back to the house to buy a coffee loaded with sugar, I'm sure, and everything else. So I guess they canceled out each other. Kind of like stopping at the donut shop and getting a Diet Coke. But he goes into the Starbucks, and there's one other customer standing in line. And this customer is in a heated argument with the young man behind the counter. And as Joe listens, they are arguing over the fact that this man wants to buy a newspaper, and all he has in his hand is a $50 bill. He's the first customer of the day. And the young man behind the counter is trying to explain to him he doesn't have change for a $50 bill for a newspaper. And the man is getting angrier and angrier. And finally, Joe says, you know, God is going to give me an opportunity right here first thing this morning to do an intentional act of goodness. So he says to the guy, don't worry about the newspaper. I'll pay for it. To which the guy kind of abruptly says, thank you, and walks out the door. As he walks out the door, the young man behind the counter, breathing a sigh of relief, says, Mister, this world would be a whole lot better place if there were more people just like you. Joe said it kind of caught him off guard. He mumbled something, and he paid for his coffee and the newspaper, and he headed down the street. And as he walked down the street, he realized that God had given him an opportunity in that coffee shop, and he had taken advantage of the first opportunity, but he had missed the second opportunity. Because he said, you know what I should have said when that young man said, Mister, this world would be a whole lot better place if there were more people like you. He said, I should have looked at him and said, no, this world would be a better place if there were more people like Jesus Christ, because he's the one who led me to do that today for you. The Christians of the early church had a tremendous impact on their world and society. There were many things that stood out about them and marked them as followers of Jesus Christ. But I believe the main characteristic about their lives comes back to chapter 4, verse 13. When people looked at them, they recognized them as having been with Jesus. The same should be true for us today. Time does not change what the Holy Spirit brings about in us when we are dependent upon Him. Folks, I would say don't ignore the world and don't ignore the news. Just realize that it's telling you we have the greatest opportunity in the history of mankind to make a difference in our world. Folks, we're on the winning side. We know who's going to reign. I think it's high time that the people of God begin to rise up and take their rightful place as children of the King. I think it's time that we get off this spiritual roller coaster that we find ourselves on and be committed to the cause of Christ. It's time for us as Christians to stand up and be counted. If we will allow Jesus to develop that commitment in our lives, what a difference we can make. I kind of want to close with this and then share one other story. It's overwhelming. I don't care. I can say all I want to up here. You can make a commitment today, but life, would you agree with me? It's overwhelming. And to think, if I'm going to make a difference, where do I start? I thought of this illustration. For sake of, again, I told you I wasn't strong in math, so again, bear with me. For sake of this illustration, let's say there are 250 people here today. I have not counted. I don't have a clue. But let's just say there's 250, Sam. I don't know if I'm close or not. If every one of us here today made a commitment that starting today and for the next 7 days, we were going to commit ourselves to do one intentional act of goodness a day for the next 7 days, when you meet here again next Sunday, you as the body of Christ would have committed 1,750 acts of intentional kindness of sharing the love of Jesus Christ. One a day is doable, folks. One a day is doable. Now translate that over an entire year. 91,000 acts of kindness. Do you think that would change this church? Do you think that would change people's lives? Do you think that would change this community? I do. Let's take this and broaden it out a little bit. Let's say today, and again, I'm just pulling a number out of the air. Let's say today that in the Ruston area and Lincoln Parish area, there's 3,000 people seated in churches. I don't know if that's even close. I'm sure somebody knows, a statistician somewhere. But let's say I would hope there's 3,000 people, maybe not in the summer, but when tech's in, let's hope there's 3,000 people in the churches today in Lincoln Parish. Do you realize that in 1 week's time, those 3,000 people, if we committed as a church, the body of Christ, to do something to make a difference, that when we gather next week, we would have committed 21,000 acts of kindness in this community? Do you realize if you multiply that over a year, it adds up to almost 1,095,000 acts of kindness? Do you think that Lincoln Parish would look different if the church would commit to doing that one act of intentional kindness of sharing the love of Christ today? I think it would transform our community. I think it would transform our parish and our area. Terry Muck writes in his book, Men of Integrity, that he had a neighbor. They lived side by side, and they were kind of, you'll understand this more so if you're a city dweller, they were kind of fence neighbors. And that means that if one of them needed a hedge trimmer, they'd lend it. If somebody needed a lawnmower, if somebody needed gas. But they never really got close. They were just kind of friendly. They'd kind of speak to one another and wave to one another. Terry says that this neighbor of his, all of a sudden, his wife was diagnosed with cancer. She lived 3 months and she passed away. The man was in total despair. And here is a part of what this man, the man who lost his wife to cancer, wrote. I was in total despair. I went through the funeral preparations and the service like I was in a trance. After the service, I went to the river that runs through our city and I began to walk down the path by the river. And I walked all night long. But I didn't walk alone. Because this neighbor, who had only been kind of a superficial neighbor, my neighbor, maybe he was afraid for me, I don't know, he stayed with me all night and walked beside me. He didn't speak. He just walked beside me. An intentional act of goodness. When the sun finally came up, he looked at me and he said, "Let's go get some breakfast." He wrote, and I quote, "I go to church now, my neighbor's church. For you see, a religion that can produce that kind of caring and love that has showed me, he showed me something that I want to find out more about. I want to love and be loved like that for the rest of my life." And I tell you today, we live in a world that wants to be loved and loved like that. And they're searching, and it's time that we share with them the answer. The greatest compliment, when people look at us, they recognize us as having been with Jesus. So I close where I started. Did you wake up this morning expecting to change your world? Every day we change it. Every day we make a difference. The question is, what kind of difference are we making? Will you pray with me? Father, as we come to a time of invitation in this service, I would pray, Father, that you would just lead and guide us in decisions that need to be made, public or private. Father, I pray that we would leave here committed to making a difference, to changing our world. But Father, as I shared earlier in this message, if there's one here today who's not experienced the eternal difference of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that they would begin today by giving their heart to Jesus. And then, Father, for those of us who are here who have read in your word of two ordinary men who turned their world upside down, Father, may we realize we too can make a difference. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can change our world. One person at a time. May we make that commitment today that we will commit over the next week and then allow that week to become another week and a month and another month to perform one intentional act of goodness and kindness that points people toward Jesus each day that you give us life. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.